Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
We're going to jump into the Word of God. How many love the Word of God? It will change your life when you let it go to work in your life. Now here's what I believe about God's Word. It always works if you let it work. And I think you can be sitting in the same row as someone going through the same situation you're going through, hear the same message, but receive it in a different way. In fact, I think reception produces the blessing of God when you just kind of have a heart that wants to secure it. And I thrill sometimes because the Word of God is so contrary to the way the world works. And yet it is the way that God works. And so everything in our natural mind sometimes is resisting faith. It's resisting even hope. It's resisting the plan of God because that's just the world we live in. But we don't just live in this world because we're not just of this world. We live for a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And if we would choose to move past our doubts and insecurities and just lean in and say, God, is this for me? Can I receive something from you? I believe this. You won't just hear what I have to say. You'll hear exactly what God wants to say to whatever your situation is. And you can leave here with the answer that you need. Amen. Do you believe that? And for that cause, could we pray? Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we love you so much. And I thank you for the beautiful church and the beautiful people of this church, that you love them all so much. And maybe there's someone who came in today doubting your goodness or doubting your plan or maybe just doubting your existence. God, I thank you that you're going to meet them even in their doubts and speak to their heart. Lord, that's my heart for these people. Lord, I prepared a message you put on my heart. I prepared it with the best of my ability, but my ability pales in comparison to your supernatural ability to speak to the heart of every individual. So for every son, every daughter in this place, God, you speak to their place of need and produce the result you desire for them to have today. We're leaning in. We love you. We thank you for Canada on Canada Day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Well, I'm Kyle. And I'm excited. It's my third preach today. I've sweated a lot. I'm going to sweat a little bit more. I brought my daughter with me. She's actually outside playing. I'm going to join her in just a moment with most of you. But I do have a picture of my family. These are the Turner. We call ourselves the Turner Wolf Pack. This is my beautiful wife, Liz. This is my daughter, Blair. That's my son, Graham, who desperately needs a touch from God. He is a savage child, and we're wondering. I'm questioning what I believe about predestination right now with that child. And I've disciplined my daughter maybe twice in her entire six-year existence. I probably will have to discipline my son over the phone twice today. And it's a blessing and a burden. And anyways, funny thing about that picture, actually, all around us were signs that say no trespassing. And my daughter's learning to read. She's in kindergarten last year. And she understood the word no. And she says, what is that other word, Dad? And I said, it just says no problems. Because you know what? We'll break some rules for the Instagram. Come on, how many know the likes are worth it? The likes are sometimes worth the struggle. Hey, I want to talk about God's Word today, and I want to come at it from a standpoint. And today's message, I think, will really encourage you. But at first, I'm going to kind of push some hot points and buttons of places of pain and discomfort for you. Because I feel like the greatest work of God actually happens in our struggle. In fact, I think it's the most difficult scriptures in God's Word that actually will produce the greatest result. Because how many know you can hear something preached on Sunday and it sounds amazing until you have to live it out on Monday? Like, for example, Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. I mean, that's poetic. I want to love myself. I want to love my neighbor. And it sounds great at church when Pastor Sam preaches it. But it's difficult on Monday when I got to look at my boss. Deal with the person next to me. Maybe even wake up to your spouse. It's not always the easiest. In fact, right now I'm having a real tough time loving my neighbor. I live in a flat downtown Kansas City, and it's not really the human that lives two doors down from me. It's the canine neighbor that lives there. Neighbor dog. Now I know this dog. I was out walking my dog about 2 months ago. I know this dog. I've pet this dog. I played with this dog. In fact, this D-O-G, I thought we were D-A-W-G dogs. But no, we are not. It's for whatever reason, that morning, about 2 months ago, he lunged at me and he bit me. Bad. Like, I'm not talking like a playful little nip. I'm talking like he's out for blood. This wolfhound, this devil dog. I call him Beelzebub, the hound of hell. I had to go to the doctor that day. I had to get a shot. I still bear on my body the scars from this dog bite. I was bleeding. It was so painful. It was so painful. And here I am. What would I want done to me if my dog bit somebody? Now, my funny thing is my dog was there with me. I was walking my dog. And he just looked at me like, wow, that escalated quickly. Like, he was no 0% help. But I have to love my neighbor, and I don't want to. Here's the thing about my neighbor that owns that dog. My neighbor that owns that dog, he's a struggling alcoholic and a single dad. And we've been loving on him and his daughters the best that we can. And so I'm in this place where, like, this is his dog. Like, his daughters only live with him one day a week. This is sign of his life. So what do I do? Do I report it? Do I tell the authorities? Or do, because it's only one time it's ever happened, or do I just overlook it? And everything in me, like, wanted to discipline him because it literally hurt and I had to go to the doctor and all that stuff. And I'm just kind of weak, okay? Don't laugh at that. But I decided to let it go. I decided that it was just better to let it be. I also leveraged it to tell him that now he has to come to church with me. I'm kind of using it as a blackmail for church, so it's working in God's favor. But it's hard to love your neighbor, and it's easy to say, but it's difficult to do. And I want to wrestle with today, if you'll give me about 25 minutes or so, with what I think is the most difficult verse in the Bible to actually live, at least for me. Do you want to go there? It's in James chapter 1. If you didn't have your Bibles, it'll show up on the screen. James chapter 1, many of you who grew up in church, you know exactly where I'm going. James, the earthly brother of Jesus, the pastor of the church in Jerusalem, has some words that they sound good when you hear them in the sermon, but they're difficult to surrender to in your life. And he says, dear brothers and sisters, a.k.a. church family, hey fam, when troubles come your way, when problems come your way, when troubles are part of your life, consider it an opportunity for great joy. That seems so counter to the way we think, because the kingdom culture is always counter to our culture. And yet James says, hey, remember. In other words, hey, this is something you've got to understand. Troubles are going to come. Consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know, in other words, you need to get this understanding or this perspective that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. One translation says, lacking nothing. Every one of us want to be more like Christ. Every one of us as believers, we want to be perfect, complete, mature, strong, resilient. And James says, the way that you get there isn't actually through blessing. It's through barriers. It's not actually through, like, God's grace and just goodness. It's actually sometimes through some grind and some struggle that the very best of your growth of your faith happens through problems and through difficulties. We all have troubles. We all have problems. They're a part of this life. In fact, if we took a poll today, I'd say probably half of us are in a situation or just got out of a tough situation. The other half are probably headed towards a tough situation, because that's just how life is in this broken world. And yet James is saying, even in the midst of brokenness and struggle, God is building something that matters, something that lasts. Our title of today's message, Perfect Problems. Perfect Problems. All of us have problems, and when you have one, God looks at it and says, ah, that's the perfect opportunity for me to do something new in you. James says, count it as a great joy because God's up to something great. This is a truth, but a frustrating truth about the way God works is that pain in God's plan, pain is normally a passport to promotion in God's ways. So if you're in some pain right now, notice that God actually, hey, he allowed it to happen. Maybe you did it yourself. Maybe it's a part of this broken world. Maybe it's an attack of the enemy. I don't know the full balance there. But God has allowed it to happen, but he won't waste it. It'll have a purpose in the end. And if you're in some pain or some struggle, it is truly a passport to more promotion in your life. Here's the truth you need to understand as well. God does have more for you. He wants to bless your life, to advance your life, to grow your life, to grow your marriage, to grow your family. I think to grow even your career, your influence of others. And yet I think more often than not, the God who wants to grow us even uses difficulties to reach more people. Because when everything's good for you, most people can't relate to that. And although God's heart is for you and has more for you, God's real heart is to leave the 99 for the one. He's always looking for the hurting. He's always looking for the outcast. He's always looking for the lost son or daughter. And many times, listen, Christian, many times he'll use the difficulty you go through and the way that you respond to show the world of how good God really is. Because if we can praise him in adversity and we can love him through pain and we keep following when it hurts, it actually is a greater testimony of God's great plan. Because your blessing, I don't think, speaks that great to the person next to you who's not a believer. But an unbeliever, when he sees how much you keep turning up, even when life is disappointing you, they can see that there's something in them, the resiliency that I need in my life as well. God has more for you. The truth is, it will cost you more than you know, and it will be better than you thought. It'll take longer than you want, but it'll end up greater than you ever had planned for yourself, because his plans are better than your plans. Now, if we had our plans, it would be easy street all the time, but we would never go anywhere significant. Because without any struggle, God can't do something significant in your life. It's just the way he works. I think sometimes in this 21st century world that we live in, where we have so much comfort and so much access and so much knowledge, we forget that the true heroes of the faith, the people in the Old and the New Testament, had to go through some adversity in life. And it wasn't just a parking ticket. Or they didn't get a second date with the guy or girl that they liked. They went through some real stuff. Now, what hurts your heart hurts God's heart as well. But let's remember that this kingdom that we build, that's a foundation that cannot be shaken, requires some real sacrifice and commitment. And just maybe not God, who is our comforter, maybe sometimes he allows some discomfort to get us to a better place. Trials are an opportunity for trust. Nothing pleases God more than we trust in him. Because when God sees a child that trusts him, a young person, a man of God, a woman of God, that truly trusts him in the midst of a trial, he says, I can do more through them. I can do more through them. And ultimately, if he can do more through you, I think he'll do more for you. But he allows us to go through some trials in order to get to a place of more reliance to grow our faith. And I think all of us would want to grow our faith. All of us would want to mature. When I read the passage from James, to be perfect, complete, lacking nothing, needing nothing. We all want to be there, stronger, more mature. But we have to understand we get there through trials. We get through problems. Romans says that faith comes by hearing. But here's the truth you need to understand today. Faith grows through testing. Well, I don't really like tests, Pastor Kyle. Yeah, me either. In fact, if you like tests, there's something wrong with you. Do you remember that person in school? They would remind the teacher that they said we were going to have a quiz or a test. Not my friend. If that's you, I will try to forgive you. You can go to heaven. You can't live by me. That's because no one wants to take a test. But we also don't want to keep going through the same class and stay at the same level of maturity for the rest of our life. Because tests are actually important. A test in school shows your teacher, the faculty, the administration, that you have the goods on the inside to actually graduate to the next level. And it ultimately shows the greatest authority of all in our life, our Heavenly Father, King Jesus, that when we pass a test, that we have what it takes to mature into more, to grow into something greater. So we should receive tests, and they won't be fun, but they will fulfill something great when it comes to our faith. I got a couple thoughts for you that I think will help you, not just pass the test, but to see your problems as something God is working for, something greater, your perfect problems. You need to see every struggle as significant. God doesn't waste a struggle. He's always up to something of significance. Something of significance. And that's why he allows tests to happen. I got a verse that really correlates with James 1. It's 1 Peter chapter 1. Now here's Peter the apostle, the leader of the new church. In verses 6 and 7, and I think this will stay up on the screen. I just want to talk through this for a moment. And I think this will really, really help you understand how problems really work and how God can work in your problem. It says, at present or right now, you may be temporarily harassed by all kinds of trials. Peter writes, this is no accident. It happens so to prove your faith. The proof is in your faith in the midst of trials. It might be a corny saying, but I think it's really true. A faith that hasn't been tested can't be trusted. And I think we can talk of faith, but until we learn to walk of faith, it isn't a real faith. A couple things I see from that passage that I think can help you today. The first one, it says you're temporarily harassed. In other words, it won't last forever. Your struggle has a shot clock. It will not last forever. How many people here, let's tell the truth of the church, have had a situation where it kept you up at night? It was an unpaid bill, maybe a downsizing at work, a relationship, maybe a medical situation. We've all lost a night of sleep or tossed and turned over something that was kind of out of our power to fix in the moment. Every one of us. And yet, we're still here. In fact, some of you can't remember why you lost that night of sleep. Maybe it was a decade ago, but in the moment, it seems so real. But you made it through. And I don't know your situation, C3. I don't know your problem. But I do know this. It will pass. You will make it through if you do not quit. Now, different problems have different timelines, and I'm not the God above your life, but I just know this. The God above it all is in the fight with you. He's on the inside of you. He is your comforter. He is your God. He is your Prince of Peace, and He will not leave you in the middle of the problem, but He will see you through. But you have to know it's going to pass. Your problem will pass. Your struggle won't be for forever. You ever have someone break up with you in like year eight, eighth grade, year seven? You know what I'm talking about? You're like 13, 14 years old. And in the moment, you're like, Devo, I'm never going to love again. Sorry, Celine, my heart won't go on. It's not happening. And we laugh because you're immature when you're year seven, year eight, eighth grade, right? But the truth is, when we think that way, fatalistically about the situations we're in right now, it shows our immaturity. And yet as we grow and as we pass the test, we realize God's got this. I believe this. The sooner we can relax and praise, even in the midst of the problem, the quicker we're actually going to get through it. And maybe it doesn't expedite the timeline, but I can live at peace as God is putting together the pieces of my breakthrough. He says it's a temporarily harassed. Remember Paul? Paul the Apostle, not like remember him like you knew him. If you knew him, we'll pray for you later. But Paul says these light and momentary afflictions. Now, we all know his situations. They were not light or they were like his whole earthly ministry life. And yet he says, no, these are light. These are momentary. But they produce in me a glory that far outweighs. In other words, the payoff is better than the cost. In other words, it's worth it to go through the light and momentary afflictions. I like on Sundays when I preach, like you were Prevailing Church, two campuses in the heart of the city, and sometimes I preach four, most Sundays I preach four times. Sometimes I preach five times. And it sucks. And it's great. And honestly, at the end of the day, I love pouring out. I love people. I love church. But at the end of the day, I'm just done. And I just want some me time. So I go home and I make bad movie decisions. I'm not talking about inappropriate movie. I'm just talking about the more explosions, the better. The worse the plot, the better. The worse the acting, the better. I choose on Netflix something like Sharknado, okay? I'm not proud of it. It's just I just want to unplug from everything. And yet I'm that guy when I start a movie, no matter how bad it is, I just kind of want to watch it all the way through. And it's getting late. I'm exhausted. I'm poured out. And the movie's horrible. The acting's bad. I mean, it's Jean-Claude Van Damme. It's just not good. And I'm like, okay, how much more must I suffer through this? And I pause it. And when you pause Netflix, you know what happens. A little timeline bar pops up. And then I can just do the math. I realize, oh, I've got 13 minutes. I'm going to ride the Sharknado storm out a little more to see what happens. You know what? If you could just pause right now, I do not know the pain you're in. I don't know the bill you need to pay. I don't know the amount of time you've gone being single. I don't know what you're believing for your family or your future or your career. But if you could just pause and kind of get up to a God perspective, you would see that God is faithful. I think He would actually begin to give you some peace, even though He's not going to tell you it's 13 minutes or 13 days or 13 months till the breakthrough. You could just be at peace knowing that God that got you started in this is also the one who finishes it. Isn't that what it says about Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith? And if you can rest well in knowing it won't be forever, I think you can get through it a little bit quicker. All kinds of trials. Trials come in many shapes and forms. Different sizes for different seasons. Remember, a $50 bill that you had to pay when you were in university or college was the end of the world. And now as you mature as a young professional, it might be a $500 bill or a $5,000 bill. Like Biggie Smalls says, more money, more problems. And you wrestle with it in different seasons of life. But the more you mature, the bigger the problem you can face. I think about Jonah. Jonah had a problem and he had a trial. It was like a giant fish-shaped trial. And God sent it. But God didn't send it to stop him. God sent it to save him. And in the midst of that big fish's belly, like he has a come to Jesus meeting, I guess in the Old Testament, if you could do that, come to God meeting. And he gets spit back on the land. And then ultimately, he goes to his God purpose and brings the message to the Ninevites, the wicked city. And they have revival. And so this is what I want you to see. The problem really wasn't the fish. The problem was Jonah's disobedience. And God actually used a trial that had custom built to just get him back to the place of grace, of obedience, and ultimately for the salvation of a city. And you got to understand that God sometimes is up to different things. It isn't just about your dilemma. God is up to something greater. He's got a far bigger picture at work. And just maybe what you're going through is just an opportunity for you to tune into heaven, turn your attention to your God so God can do something significant through you. I think usually for others. I think we have to pass the test not just for ourselves, but for others. And I think that's the greatest sign of obedience. Trials can get your attention. All kinds of trials. This is no accident, it says in 1 Peter. And I do not know, again, the balance between broken world, an enemy of us all, who wants to stop us, to kill, steal, and destroy, and then our own decisions. Because sometimes you got to struggle in your finances because they downsized that work. That's outside your control. That's the economy. That's the broken world. And sometimes you got to struggle in your finances because that outfit looked like fire on you and you needed it for this weekend. You know what I'm saying? We sometimes make bad decisions to get us into difficulties. But no matter what, if you got yourself into it, it was attack of the enemy, it's a part of this broken world, God doesn't waste it. He can use it, develop you through it, do something beautiful on the other side, because heat purifies gold. Pressure turns coal into diamonds. And problems and trials turn our life into forward progress when it comes to our faith. God will use what you're going through. A different translation of James chapter 1, verse 2 says, be very happy when you're tested in different ways. I'd be very happy if that wasn't in my Bible. You know what I'm saying? Like, be very happy. It's not just like joy. Now this translation is talking about happiness. Because joy is not circumstantial. Happiness is circumstantial. Joy, you have joy even in the midst of trials because you always have Jesus. Jesus is the giver of joy. But this translation is saying, just go ahead and be happy. In other words, God's going to be so good, it's going to literally, you can change your countenance even when you're in the midst of adversity. That passage reminds me of this guy I see at the gym all the time. And he's a super fit guy, and so I call him Super Fit Guy. And I don't know his name, it's just better that way. Sometimes just give him a nudge. Headphones are on, means don't talk to me. And I see him at the gym, and he's there every time I go there. And in my mind, I'm thinking, man, he's pretty fit. But I see him here all the time. So if I have to go to the gym as much as he's at the gym, I'm out. I got a wife, I got kids, I got a church, I'm okay. But then I realized the other day, he sees me at the gym all the time. And he sees me, I'm like super ordinary guy. Why are you laughing? And I realized, he must be thinking in his own mind, well, if this guy's always at the gym, when I'm at the gym, I got to go to the gym even more. It's a vicious cycle, okay? The other day I saw him, and he's in that area of the gym I don't go to. All the machines that are like free-flowing, the balls, the whips, the chains. I don't know what happens over there, but it's not a fun gym over there. It's the no-fly zone. It's the Badlands for me. And he's laying on the mat, just drenched, like he's drowning in his own sweat. It's as if Jonah's well spit him out right there. And he's got the goofy smile on his face. I'm like you look like you're about ready to die, but he's smiling. And it dawned on me the other day that that's not the first time he's pushed himself that far. And he's fit and strong outwardly. His core strength, his muscles, he's really fit because he knows when he pushes himself that far, that's the end result. And that's why he's happy or blessed or glad when he goes to that level of exhaustion. And it reminded me the passage in Hebrews. It talks about the heroes that have gone before us, the heroes of the faith. And the writer of Hebrews paints a picture of us as we're running our race, which is our life, which is our calling, which is our day-to-day life. They are cheering us on as if we're in some great amphitheater, some great stadium. And they rise to their feet to tell us to keep going even when we're weary, because they know the end result of our exhaustion is promotion in God's kingdom. So they cheer us on because they have a perspective that we don't have. Why? Because they're mature. They're complete. Now in eternity, they're lacking nothing. And they're saying, hey, you've been living for God? Keep going. Hey, your finances are struggling? Keep being a giver. Hey, your time is getting tested? Keep being a servant. Hey, that person's bothering you? Keep forgiving. Keep loving. They stand to their feet to cheer us on, is even though we're going through a trial, because they know the payoff is always worth it. How do I get through the trials? Real quickly. Let me give you a 1-2 punch to how to get through what you're going through right now. Write this down, if you will. I've got to live by the promises and fulfill the commands. It's the duo, the coupling of breakthrough, is God's promises and God's commands. Now listen, this might not be the sexiest thing I ever preach, but it could be the most powerful thing that you need to hear. Because if you're in a trial right now, and you just got your head down, and you're trying to do it in your own abilities, what we always do, right? Human nature is to work to our ability, exhaust ourselves, stress ourselves out. Then when we're done, God help me. But God's actually looking for maturity, complete people that call out to Him first and through it. And then as we call up to Him, we get our head up. And that's what promises do. The promises in God's Word get your head up of what God could do, what God would want to do, what I believe God will do in your life. Just like God, the promises in God's Word, there are 7,000 plus of them, and they're for you. It's good for you to learn them. In fact, if you're going through a trial, I guarantee there's one that's close to what you're going through. And God will work. He's not a respecter of persons. What He did for Gideon, He'll do for you. What He did for Ruth, He'll do for you. What He did for Esther, He'll do for you. And we can grab a hold of what is said to them, and we can apply it to our life. And 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 tells us that, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes in Christ, or amen, so be it. Let it happen in your life. In other words, because we have Jesus, we have this relationship with God the Father, that everything God wants to do is our inheritance that we receive through Christ. And we don't have to earn it. We did not deserve it, but we can receive it. The Bible does say, though, listen, it's by faith. It's what we're talking about, building our faith through our problems. But by faith and patience that we inherit the promises of God. So this is where they work together. You need a promise that God will be faithful in your life. It gets your head up. So you're no longer trying to make it happen in your ability. You got your perspective on God. Right place to be. But then this is where many of us miss out. It's not just the promise. It's also the command. They work together. That means when God's word says something, I need to be quick to obey it. I don't know about you. I know a lot of Christians that love to proclaim a promise, but they are disobeying something that God has directly told them in the word that this is for them and for right now. God's word isn't just nice suggestions. It isn't just some romantic poetry about how beautiful God is or how much He loves us. It's filled with the way to live. It is truth and life to those that find it. And if you want more of Jesus, then you need more of His Word. John 1 says He's the Word that became flesh. So every morning when you open up your Bible, whether it's on your phone or a paper Bible or just something you read, just a few moments, you're spending time with Jesus. And the more you see God's Word, the more things will begin to pop out that God's Word is asking you to do. And many of these commands, listen, many of these commands are inconvenient. They're unreasonable. They're not fun. Some of them, apart from grace and maybe time even, they seem impossible that you could do that. And yet faith without works is dead. I think your faith is lifted up by a promise, and your faith is seen to be alive by what you do with what God has said. Y'all tracking with me today? And I know I'm teaching here for just a moment, but this will help you. And for some of you right now, you've been holding on to a promise, but you've also been holding on to some bitterness. And the Bible says, here's the promise, He will be faithful and just to forgive you. But if we don't forgive each other, that's the command, He can't forgive us. Some of you, you want anxiety out of your life. You want fear out of your life. And yet the Bible says, and the Bible says He wants to guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. The Prince of Peace wants to show up. And yet it says you can't worry about anything, but you have to pray about everything. And some of you refuse to quit worrying. So therefore, you haven't followed the command. Therefore, you can't receive the promise. You're all tracking with me. And if you, some of you right now, you've had your head up believing God for something, but I won't tell you what it is. I'll let God do it. Let God speak to your heart like only He can. There's some of you, there's just one action step of faith without works. It's one action step away from the breakthrough showing up in your life because God works by both promises and commands. They work together. And this is when you know you're mature because you're believing big for God and you're acting big for God. You have a big faith of expectation and you have a big faith of walking out. Because remember the promise to Joshua, anywhere you put your feet, I'll give you that land. But Joshua didn't just proclaim that. He started stepping. And some of you, there's some steps of obedience and commands that God wants to bring because obedience to God's word is the lifeblood to our faith. Again, a faith without works is a dead and empty faith. Every time I read something in God's word that doesn't, it's not fun. I have the choice to make. Do I want to go with my gut feeling that will keep me right where I'm at? Or do I, by faith, want to obey my God to see where He can take me? And I know I said some of you might be one moment away from obedience, one step away from breakthrough. But for the most of us, it's a long walk in the same direction. But watch and see over time, God will expedite every single thing He's wanting to do in your life. Some of you, you need to believe big again. You've given up on a dream. It's maybe a decade old, or maybe you just buried it in the back of your mind a few months ago that it would never come to pass. You need to believe bigger, but then you also need to obey bigger. It's in the coupling of those two that will produce the beautiful destiny and the plan of God for your life. I think I'm preaching to somebody up here. Can you give God a little praise? Come on. Final thought. I got to start to see God's delays as my development. Wah, wah. Again, not the exciting thing, but I'm going to start getting a new perspective. Remember James says, for you know, do you know that this is the way that God works? The problem is Westerners, I'm a millennial, as millennials, we like things right now. We like things immediately. We do not want to wait for, and we live in such a fast-paced life and get anything you want in a moment. I mean, I'm that guy. I'm the worst at this, preaching to myself today. I'm that guy that when the microwave hits 2 seconds, I'm like, I got this. Pop that open. I don't know what's going to happen to me in 2 minutes, 2 seconds. I want that right now. I just want to go ahead and take it. I'm impatient. All of us are, really. Especially with something we really desire, we really want, we really need. The other day, me and my family, we went to lunch, and it was kind of at the end of the lunch rush. And we got seated kind of in the corner. And all four of us were there, and we're just waiting. No one comes to greet us. No one comes. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, about 12, 13 minutes in. And I have a four-year-old. Like, he can destroy a village in 12 minutes. You know what I mean? He could unseat the government officials in the city in 12 minutes. And this guy shows up, and he, like, totally bros. Like, hey, bro. I'm like, no, not today. He's like, hey, my name's Cody. I'm going to be your waiter. I'm like, oh, you're going to be my waiter. My initial thought was, no, I'm the waiter. I've been waiting for your sorry self. I didn't say that because we were close proximity to the church. How many know I got to be a fake Christian as long as I'm just kidding, that close to the church. But I don't like to wait. None of us do. No one likes to wait, especially the things we're really desiring, especially the things we're really believing for, contending for. We want instant results. It just doesn't work that way. It's faith and patience. We inherit the promises of God. There's almost always a delay in something significant in your life. We all love the harvest. How many know He's the Lord of the harvest? When you need I want a harvest in my life. I want to harvest a relationship. I want to harvest a breakthrough. I want to harvest a pay increase. But it's not harvest and harvest. It's seed time and harvest. And this is the way our Heavenly Father, listen, always works. He always works. Galatians 6, verse 7, you're going to harvest what you sow. Now let's change our perspective because I want you not just think about the thing you're believing for. Let me show you what your Heavenly Father wants for you. Listen, God is going to harvest what He sowed in your life. One day there will be a harvest of your character becoming exactly like Jesus Christ. The Bible says when we see Him, we become just like Him. Now we see Him when we leave this earth, when we die, or when He returns back. Now our salvation, listen, our salvation is in God's hands. Covered, free, grace, received, beautiful, wonderful mystery of the gospel. But our our character development is not in God's hands. It's in ours. Do we stay faithful to Him when it is not fun? Do we stay planted when it is inconvenient? Will we stay working and still waiting while God is doing His complete work in us? God's going to harvest. I mean, remember, it's Christ in us, Colossians 1:27. Christ in us is the hope of glory. It's a yet to receive all that He has for us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anyone in Christ is a new creation. The old life is gone. The new life isn't here. It has begun. It is beginning. It's a process. And God has planted something beautiful. And it's by patience and time and persistence that it develops. In other words, I think the problems and the pressure in life, the trials that we're in, it's like the soil that we must stay surrendered in. Think about Jesus. Jesus is perfect. In other words, none of His problems were His own doing. And yet He still had to go through some trials, did He not? Rejection from family, abandonment from friends. Jesus said the Son of Man has no place to lay His home and nowhere to live. He had trials that are very, maybe similar to what you're going through, but He didn't deserve any of them. And yet the Bible says, for the joy set before Him, He endured. He went through it, despising the shame, even the shame of the cross. And why? Because He saw us on the other end. We were the joy that He desired. We were the product that He desired. And yet God desires in you the character of Christ. And yet this is why, and this is why, listen, this is why He uses the problems and the struggles and His timeline to develop as in someone who is perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Mark 4:26-27, the kingdom of God is like someone who plants seed in the ground night and day, whether the person is asleep or awake. The seed still grows as long as you don't give up. But the person does not know how it grows. Proverbs 19 says, impatience gets us into trouble every time. And your worry, listen, your worry does not make it work faster. I think your celebration of who God is, I think your praise, I think you can rest well when you know you've sown well. And God will do the rest. The most significant work, listen, we're done here. The most significant work is done in your surrender. It says, God, I take my hands off of it. I give it to You. I'll have a promise and I'll have obedience, but I'm just trusting the process. I'm leaving it up to You. And this is why a word, and if you don't know this verse, you might be brand new to church. This is something you need to anchor your soul and your life to. Galatians 6, verse 9, let us not get tired. It's a tiresome world we live in. It's tough to go through the grind. We need the grace of God. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need to be around the people of God. You need to be planted in a church like this. You need to go through the next steps and get serving, because the more you give out, the more God can do in your life. He who refreshes others Himself will be refreshed. And let's not get tired of doing what is right, even when it's not fun, even when it's not convenient. For after a while, and we don't get to determine the length of the while, that's up to our Heavenly Father. But we will reap a harvest. It's a harvest of blessing. You have a God who, He doesn't have you going through the storm just to keep you weak. He wants to make you complete. He wants to make you strong on the other end. He wants you to be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. We will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. In other words, you might get discouraged, but don't give up. Because while you're waiting, God is working. And your progress just requires some patience. But here is what I believe. Let me put all that in the back burner for one moment. I still believe in the God of miracles. That when I bring a problem, even of my own doing, that His mercy, His grace, and oh, His power can show up and do what I couldn't do in 1,000 years of work, of planning. Doesn't matter what family I come from. I'm in a new family, the family of God. Doesn't matter how gifted I am in my skill set. I've got the God who can open every door that no man can open, close every door that no man can close. I got the God who can heal me. I got the God who will provide for me. I got the God who loves me. He's a perfect Heavenly Father, that out of Him are every perfect gift. That in Him there is no darkness or casting of shadows. He cares about your life. And I believe that He can show up. And at any given moment, the plan of God and the power of God could show up. And right now, your while could be over. Your breakthrough could be today. But here's where real believers believe for the power to be today. And if it's not, they believe tomorrow. And then they believe tomorrow. And they believe tomorrow. and watch and see over time, you will make so much progress in your life. The character of Christ will be so developed in your life, and you will be a world changer with your life. And if that situation never changes and God doesn't deal with it till eternity, you will receive such a blessing for holding on and persevering that you'll look back at your life here on the earth and says, oh, it was so worth it to live for my God. It was so worth it to go through the trials I went through. It was so worth it. Nothing was wasted in the plan of God.